By my good friend, Brother Johnson, Brother Reisner, and I know that you've had a good service thus far, and I don't intend to keep you very long this afternoon, because I could improve very little on what that you've heard and won't try to do that, but maybe add something to what you've heard. The Lord Jesus, during his earthly ministry, made a statement in that great sheep sermon in John chapter 10, I think, that is so very vital that we oftentimes read it, and yet it passes off as common knowledge to us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, in verse 30, that I and my Father are one. Now, if we lose sight of that fact, and Brother Virgil, where facts are established, all argument ceases. So here's the fact. I and my Father are one. This is read right. The word God in the Old Testament Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, don't claim to be, is the word Elohim. The word Elohim is a uniplural noun.
That's right, we're reading.
Which signifies unity in plurality.
That's right, brother.
So that teaches me the fact that God is not a unit, but God is a unity.
That's right.
In the plural.
That's right.
The apostle tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And these three are one.
Amen.
Not going to be, but that word testifies to the fact that presently speaking,
that's right,
these three are one. One has never done anything without the full cooperation and complete agreement of the other two. Brother Reisner taught us from the text in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where Jesus inspired Paul to write, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, brethren, here is something that is difficult to understand. That's what a mystery is. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What did he say? God was manifest in the flesh. What does that tell you? He was openly seen. He was openly declared. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached to the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And received up into glory. That got it from bottom to top. Amen?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Listen to it now. The scepter shall not depart from Judah.
That's right, really.
Nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be.
Right.
The word Shiloh means peacemaker.
That's right, really.
And the king who held the symbol of authority, the scepter, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not any doubt about who that's talking about.
Amen.
Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. The Bible tells us that I shall see him but not now. I shall behold him but not now. For there shall come a star out of Jacob. Listen now. And a scepter shall arise out of Israel.
That's right.
And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. That light begins to go brighter and brighter until finally Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 could come on the scene and said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Don't you like that? The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Not going to do it for somebody else. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name, who? Emmanuel. What does that mean? Matthew 1:23 tells us, God with us.
Yes. Amen.
Now man violated God's law. Therefore, God required that a man pay the penalty that God's law demanded.
Amen, Brother Richard.
Now, we could suffer, but we couldn't satisfy.
Amen.
God's not a man. He could satisfy, but he couldn't suffer. Therefore, he took a being who was both God and man, who could both suffer and satisfy, that divine justice might be met and that God's wrath might be appeased. I'll tell you right now, when the heavy hand of the judgment of God fell on that suffering substitute on the cross, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, I want you to understand that now there was the barrier was gone and we had an approach to God.
Amen.
Because, and I'll prove to you from the Bible that that veil was a typical figure of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Now, Isaiah began to talk about that. A man violated God's law, and we understand that. Therefore, God demanded payment by man. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who was both God and man. Now, you know what? You look back, Brother Marty, in the case of the serpent in the wilderness. That typified the two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, make a serpent of brass and set it on a pole. Well, why didn't he say gold or silver? They had gold in the construction of the tabernacle, silver in the construction of the tabernacle. Why didn't he say gold or silver? He said brass. Had a reason for saying brass. You know, God has a reason for things he does. God has a purpose for things he does. Nothing by accident. Let me tell you right now, brother, if you're saved today, you're saved on purpose.
Amen.
You're not saved by accident,
no.
But you're saved on purpose, on the account of God's purpose in Christ. Now, when you look back, that serpent in the wilderness, he'd make you a serpent of brass. Why did he say brass? Because brass is an alloy metal.
That's right.
Made up of zinc and copper.
That's right.
One of them is highly perishable. The other is highly non-perishable.
That's right.
Typified the two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's
right. And I affirm to you today that the blessed Lord of glory had two natures about him. He had a nature that could identify with you. He had a nature that could suffer, and yet he was God manifest in the flesh. I and my Father are one. He told the closest followers that he had, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
I affirm to you today that when our blessed Lord went to the cross and he went there in the fullness of his strength, I affirm to you today that as he went there to the cross, and as those looked up there and they saw that suffering substitute, I tell you right now that as the judgment of God fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Tell you right now today, a man told me one time, he said, Brother Ricky, he said, I love you old Baptists, but you're letting millions go to hell every year because you don't get the gospel to them. And I said, well, what do you do with them folks y'all don't get the gospel to? He said, the Lord saves them on ignorance. Amen. I said, well, you're doing them a disservice if you'd let them alone. Lord, save them all on ignorance. You understand that? You can't go that route. That won't add up. The pieces of that puzzle don't fit together. But I want to tell you now, according to the faith of God and the faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ, when our blessed Lord went to the cross, the very faithfulness of God was exhibited before the eyes of men.
That's right. That's right, Brother Reed.
And God was faithful to his promise through Christ.
That's right.
Hear me? Now, let's get a very familiar text. I'm going to let you go in 9 minutes, all right? 9 minutes. Let's get a familiar text. Now, I was preaching a funeral down at Cartersville one day, and I was driving down Highway 75, and I was listening to station Chattanooga, Brother Wayne. And there was a fellow on there, and he came on there, and he said, my subject today is going to be the doctrine of election. Well, I said, brother, I want to hear this. I tuned her in right fine, you know. And listen, for about 20 minutes, Brother Virgil, he dotted every I and crossed every T. I'm going to tell you right now. And I said, well, he'll mess it up before he gets through. And he got out of about a minute left. I said, he ain't got time to mess it up. He got to stay with it now. But about 15 seconds before the program went off, he said, now it's true that God chose his people in Christ. It's true that he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. It's true that he's going to call them by his grace. But the thing about it is, he said, that the gospel must be preached and you must receive faith on the basis of receiving that gospel. And then he quoted this text. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Yeah.
And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God provides the grace, but you provide the faith. And upon that basis and cooperative effort, you're saved for heaven. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe a word of it. You hear me? You can tell them all, I said. I was in discussion with a group of people in Birmingham about 40 years ago. We didn't agree on that text. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll send that text to the English department, where I was a student at the time, Jacksonville State University, out in Manistee, Dr. Ann Johnson, and let her diagram it. Now, I want to tell you, when I was in school, we had to diagram it. Y'all don't do that now, but we did back then. You had to put down the subject and the predicate and the adjective and the adverbs and everything else. That was the way to do it. I said, I'll take their diagram. They said, we will too. Sent Dr. Ann Johnson. She's long passed away now, but she's a fine lady. She's double barrel Methodist, but I liked her anyway. Here's the way it come back. For by grace are you saved through faith is a positive statement. That of yourselves is a negative statement. And there's nothing in the negative that can be adjoined to that in the positive, because all that's in the positive is all of God. Both the grace and the faith belong to God.
That's right. Amen, Brother Rick.
Thank you, Dr. Ann Johnson. That's not only the truth of the Bible, that's the truth of the English language. You hear me?
Yes.
Amen. For by grace are you saved through the avenue, through faith. What does it mean? Is that your faith and my faith?
No.
It won't work.
No,
sir. Now I'll tell you one thing. If that is your faith, and then you've got to have that faith to make grace effective, and upon that basis you don't make grace effective, then I want to tell you right now, what God purposed may come to naught because you have failed to do your part. For by grace are you saved through faith. This is what it means. For by grace are you saved, not by the avenue of your faith, but by the avenue of God's faithfulness.
Amen.
That's exactly what it's talking about.
Yes.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Neither the grace nor the faith is of yourselves. For that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let me prove that to you. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. You know what that says? That faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that tell you? Substance, underlying factor, sub, under, submarine, goes under the water. Stance, position. Faith is the underlying factor in your position. It's not your faith, but it's God's faith. God's faith in Christ and the faithfulness of Christ to the promise that he made. And because he could swear by no greater, he could swear by himself. I'm telling you about a judge today, my friend, that cannot violate his oath. I'm telling you about one today, my friend, that is just as sure to complete every promise that he made. Now, I can make promise when I'm in a good mood, and I may violate it when I'm in a bad mood. Yes, sir. But I want to tell you one thing. That God, who cannot lie,
amen,
promised eternal life,
yeah,
before the world began. Now, I'll tell you right now, you can rest on that. Here's the reason that I drive 1,000 miles, Brother Ryan. Here's the reason, Brother Will, that I'd give my life to spend and be spent. You brethren out there have done it much longer than I have. But for the last 55 years, I want to tell you right now that I believe what I preach. And I want to tell you that if you don't believe what I preach, that's all right. I want you to know I believe it. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know I believe it.
Amen.
And that's what we've always believed. And today, my friend, here's the reason that I give my life to spend and be spent. To tell you that in the last great day, when God Almighty, who is judge, counselor, and jury, shall rise up to charge you for every sin that you committed. Thank God, my brother, we'll have a friend in the court. We'll have a friend in the court that'll say the debt's been paid. It's all been canceled. Say with the Apostle Paul, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. Got 2 minutes. I'm going to tell you this. All right. I was going North Carolina. I may have told this before here. I don't know. Tell it again to live long enough. I was going to North Carolina. Brother Sam Mills had made some appointments for me a long time ago in the Charlotte area. And so I was going up there, and I stopped in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains to spend the night. And so it was in the fall of the year, and it was pretty warm. And so I was sitting out there at the motel in the chair, and I was reading my Bible just like this. And an old lady walked by, and she spoke, and I didn't do it in a minute. She came back by, and she sat down by the side of me back there. She said, I want to ask you a question. I said, all right. I said, what is it? She said, aren't you a preacher? And I said, well, I am. She said, I want to ask you another real personal question. I said, all right. She said, aren't you a Primitive Baptist preacher? I like to fell out of my chair. I said, how did you determine I was a Primitive Baptist preacher? I said, I can tell you might know I was a preacher. How'd you tell I was a Primitive Baptist preacher? He said, well, you're reading in the second chapter of Ephesians, so that's pretty good reason. Yeah. said over here in North Carolina, we call that the greasy text. And I said, why do you call it the greasy text? Said, because I can go to a home and I can open up the Bible to the 8th chapter of Romans or the 2nd chapter of Ephesians, and I can see the greasy fingerprints on the thing. Because they specialize in that. Well, we had a good visit. Come find out her dad was a Primitive Baptist preacher up in the northern part of the state. Next morning, I got up to leave, and she wasn't there, and I walked in. I said, we need to pay you. He said, no. I said, you don't owe us anything. I said, well, I do. I said, you know, we left it like this. I said, I just don't owe you anything. He said, friend, you don't owe us a dime. I said, well, why I hadn't paid you? Said, there's a note pinned to this card right here that says, paid in full. Now, you know what? There I was trying to rest all night thinking I owed a debt that somebody else had already taken up. You know, there's a lot of God's children like that, Frank. They don't know that the debt that they think that they've got to pay has already been paid. The good news of the gospel is that the debt's been paid. The good news of the gospel is, and the message of God's word is that a man that was above and beyond you has took upon himself the sin debt that you owed and became sin actually for you. Somebody said the Lord paid the penalty for sin. I want to tell you right now, he did more than just pay a penalty for sin. He became sin itself.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Became sin itself. And I tell you, you know, you can go to courthouse over in my part of the country, and I've got a key to it. I can get in time I want to. You can look over there. And you know what? I violated law a few times. Now, it's not a felony. It's not a murder. All of it traffic violations. But you know what? I paid every fine. Everything the law demanded, I paid it. But I want to tell you something. There's a record of it still there. There's a record of it still there, even though it's been paid. But bless your sweet heart. When the Lord Jesus died and rose again and ascended back to that place where it came from, bless your heart, he not only paid the penalty, but he also expunged the record. There's not even a record to be held against him. That's the good news of the gospel. Thank God for the faithfulness of Christ. Thank God that I and my Father are one. Thank God that the blessed Lamb of Calvary that came down and woke the dusty hills of Galilee. Bless your heart, I want you to understand that was God manifest in the flesh. And when he went back to the cross, he never surrendered his sovereignty. He was still God in the flesh.
Amen.
Still there. Now, it's time to quit. God bless you.